From Tidbits on July 5th, 2010, this is Pondering Friendship Online, Focus on Intimacy, written by Glenn Fleischman. What is a friend? I have a simple modern definition. A friend is someone to whose home I have been for a social reason, or, if invited, would accept such an invitation. A friend is someone I would invite over to my house, too. A friend is someone I call up or send email to without a particular agenda in mind. I have found it easy to conflate friend, acquaintance, and colleague into, quote, friend, unquote, over the years, partly because I'm gregarious, although being gregarious apparently isn't required. My friend and colleague Joe Kissel says that he finds himself in agreement with most everything in this article, despite being a self-described introvert. For his view on what that means, see Instant Messaging for Introverts, April 4th, 2008. For instance, our Tidbits and Take Control head honchos Adam and Tanya Engst are both close colleagues and dear friends. When they lived nearby, we saw each other every so often, though less frequently than we would have had we not been separated by snarled Seattle traffic. Now a continent apart, we talk even more regularly, mostly about work, but with a lot of personal stuff thrown in. You know, I like them. On the other hand, there are some people with whom I have worked for years who remain colleagues, but it would be a stretch to call them friends. I would never tell them to their faces that they remain at arm's length, and it's rare that there's any tension. It's just a lack of being simpatico, an association of feelings and rapport that allows easy communication. These ruminations about friendship come up every time I'm asked to friend, buddy, or partner up with someone in a social network. The fundamental problem with social networks is that they either encourage too much forced intimacy or put one in the position of rejecting genuine friendship. I have found in my brief 42 years on the planet that everyone has a different spectrum of friendship. Some people I barely know appear to consider me a friend. That's typically charming, if perhaps misguided. Other people I've known for many years are still rather formal with me, despite hundreds of contacts. I generally like most people I meet, and generally can strike up a conversation with any given person. But that doesn't make that person my friend, although it might make me his or her friend. This all makes requiring an explicit choice instead of using implicit social signals rather frustrating and stressful. David Weinberger, author of several interesting books about internet culture and information, his most recent is Everything is Miscellaneous, spoke well to this point at the 2003 O'Reilly Emerging Technology Conference. His talk is available as a webpage. Weinberger is often ahead of his time, and he was speaking about the coming tsunami of social networking. Although I heard him say this 7 years ago, it has stuck with me as an apt summary of the problem. He was talking about Friendster, the dominant 2003 social network, when someone named Hallie asked him to be a friend. I have no problem saying, yes, I am Hallie's friend, but there are lots and lots of people who might ask me to be their friend, for which the situation is much dicier. There are people who are acquaintances or relatives or former college housemates I've been trying to avoid for years. There are people for whom I'll press the accept button not because they're friends exactly, but because they're not enough not friends, that I want to reject them, or because I want to impress them, or because I want to kiss their butt in public, etc. Friendster asked me to be binary, but one of the least binary relationships around. End quote. The binary problem is that someone asking you if you are a friend or not becomes a referendum on the entire relationship you have with that person. If you say no, you're rejecting an offer of kindness. If you say yes but mean no, you've set up a new and potentially damaging dynamic. If you ignore the request entirely, the person may notice the lack of response and be hurt. The social networking services can't simply set up a spectrum of intimacy either. LinkedIn tries this by asking how you know someone, did you work together, go to school together, and so on, thus establishing a venue for a connection since LinkedIn is a business networking site. But could Facebook ask you to select among acquaintance, friend of a friend, person you once dated, enemy, friend, lover, best friend forever, drifted apart from, longing to be back together with, and who the heck is that? Pick the wrong choice, and that friend, lover, colleague, nuisance may be dead to you forever, or may become the new best friend you didn't want. Of all the social networking services out there, I like the approaches of Flickr and Twitter best. In Flickr, you have contacts, and you can set a contact to be a friend or part of your family. I have friends I consider family and mark them as family, too. But Flickr doesn't force you to ask or answer the question. Twitter's follower-following model doesn't imply much about the relationship, although one could easily argue that the asymmetry of popular people, following a few and being followed by many, is a kind of emergent hierarchy of importance. But at least I don't have to pretend to be Ashton Kutcher's friend, nor vice versa. Early in its history, Twitter had the concept of friends as well and gave it up as being confusing. Adam Engst also likes Twitter because of how it doesn't overload relationships. See his companion article, Pondering Friendship Online, Expand Asymmetrically, May 28, 2010. As it stands, I've made some real friends and strengthened many existing acquaintanceships through Twitter, a rare occurrence in my previous 20-plus years on the internet. When I killed my Facebook account a few months ago, I had hundreds of friends. I deleted the account because of my disgust over how Facebook was handling privacy, disgust triggered epiphenomenally by the Google Buzz debacle. See, what's the Google Buzz? Tell me what's a happening, February 14th, 2010. But deleting my Facebook account was also prompted by a growing discomfort at how much of the intimate details of people's lives I was being shown outside the circle of people with whom I have that actual degree of intimacy. It had become almost like The Sims for me, with Facebook showing information about friends of friends and constantly suggesting new people I might add to my network who I didn't know well or, increasingly, at all. I had long joked that Facebook was second life for your real life, and I already had a real life that was taking up pretty much all of my time. Facebook and other services could short-circuit this problem by letting each user have social circles into which connections could be optionally placed, but which would be known only to the user, not to any friends. Keeping friend details private for you and implicit for others would preserve some of the social compact. Facebook has a feature that offers a clunky version of this, and surveying friends who use Facebook, most are unaware of it. But social networks require massive numbers of explicit connections to drive their growth. Facebook would prefer everyone friend hundreds of people and recommends hundreds more. My life, however, doesn't favor quantity and growth over quality and intimacy. When we were little and another child asked, "Will you be my friend?" the answer wasn't always yes, but it probably should have been. In my 40s and in today's internet, the answer is, I'm afraid, I don't think that's the right question. This is Tidbits, sponsored in part this week by Smile on My Mac. To follow links, make comments, read related articles, and subscribe via email, RSS, or Twitter, visit us at tidbits.com. I'm Glenn Fleischman, and I'll always be your friend.